Atop Saratoga County's Mount McGregor in the foothills of the Adirondacks is the yellow house known as Grant's Cottage. The building is where former U.S. President Ulysses S. Grant spent the last 6 weeks of his life. Sitting next to a complex that was most recently used as a prison, but was once a mountaintop resort, the building is now owned by the state of New York. A staff of volunteers runs tours and programs at the site. Frank Varney, author of the book General Grant and the Rewriting of History, will be speaking at the cottage on Sunday. We agreed to meet for a quick tour.
Frank, did you come down from Ticonderoga today?
Yes, I did.
You did?
Yep.
That's a drive.
Yeah, but it's a nice one.
Yeah. When we take people through, we usually talk outside for a few minutes.
That's our guide, David Hubbard, of the Friends of the Ulysses S. Grant Cottage, speaking in the doorway of the building that looks like it did in 1885.
Grant came here because of his lack of money. He lost his money in a banking scandal in New York in 1884, and because of his health. He had cancer of the throat and the tongue. He needed someplace where there was cool, fresh air.
And this is also where, at the advice and support of Mark Twain, Grant wrote his memoirs to support his family. Much of the inside of the home, like the outside, is unchanged since 1885. There's a cabinet of Grant's bedclothes, kerosene lamps, and even a jar containing a mixture of water and cocaine Grant's caretakers used to swab his throat in his illness. Hubbard shows us where Grant spent much of his time writing.
This is what we call the sick room, or Grant's bedroom. He couldn't lay down because of the tumor in his throat. He would sit in one chair, put his feet up on the other. They gave him a board to put across here so he could use it as a writing desk.
Also in the rooms are a clock stopped at 8:08, the hour Grant passed away, as well as massive 130-year-old flower arrangements brought to the home after his death. Varney, who's visited the cottage a few times, said he's still impressed with the house and its story.
You know, that's a very human drama. It took place right here. And a great man, regardless of what you think of him as a person, he was a great man, certainly in terms of influence and power and notoriety. And that drama played out right here. I think that's just fascinating.
Grant's memoirs were enormously successful. Finished just 3 days before his death, the original two-volume set sold 350,000 copies. Grant's family received about $450,000 in royalties. In today's value, that would be more than $10 million. The memoirs would be used to help write history books for years.
The problem is when you look at what Grant said in his memoirs, as opposed to what other people are saying about some of the actions of which he was a part, you see a split in terms of what Grant's saying, what everybody else was saying. But I don't think that's hard to understand. We have a tendency to look at history with hindsight. We're looking at it knowing that Grant is going to be one of the leading generals in the world and a two-term president of the United States. He didn't know that in 1862. You know, this is a guy who was fighting a very real struggle. And when things went wrong, he was not going to let it be his fault if he could avoid it. So he indulged in some scapegoating. And he tried very hard to shape the historical record. And again, that's human nature.
After a chat on the porch, Varney and I walked to a hillside with views of distant Vermont and Massachusetts, referred to as Grant's last stand.
Grant used to like to be wheeled out here, and he used to sit over there. There was a gazebo, I think, where that marker is, which people dismantled for souvenirs.
Varney is now in the process of writing his second book on Grant, and as much as he's called Grant's memoirs into question, he still has a great respect for the man and his work.
Can you imagine knowing? I mean, we all know we're going to go sometime, but knowing you're going soon and you're, you know, trying to finish the memoirs, because if you don't, your family's going to be saddled with this enormous debt that would have been probably well over $1 million today. You know, just how he did it. I mean, the reason they were swabbing his throat with cocaine was they couldn't give him morphine. It dulled him too much. He couldn't write. So he used cocaine, which didn't help him as much, but it at least enabled him to continue to write. So I can't even, and he couldn't even lie down. I mean, the poor man had to sleep sitting up, you know, just to try to do this. Working through the night often by kerosene lamp. If you ever tried to write by kerosene lamp, it's not too easy.
Varney will be speaking at the Grant Cottage on Sunday at 1 p.m. For more information, visit wamc.org.